Welcome to Marketing, Media, and Money, your go-to podcast for proven profitable strategies, secrets, and resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. Here's your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. And I am so excited today because I am going to have one of my absolute favorite people on the show, and she is going to drop so many golden nuggets that she hasn't even said anything yet. That just because I knew she was, I wore my favorite gold necklace, just because I know she's going to, so we could literally set it up. But I have to tell you, this is going to be an amazing show for one simple reason, lots of them, but here's the one. Because we're going to be talking about how to get more visibility, exposure, leads, and sales from your podcast guest interviews. And our guest Lindsay likes to say, why kill yourself trying to create new content on the fly when you have a perfectly good podcast or a guest on podcast that you can leverage and repurpose? And we're going to dive into that today because I'm going to tell you, we hear all the time, if you don't have your own podcast, or even if you do, you should be guesting on other podcasts. So we hear about that all the time. But what we're not hearing, but what you're going to hear today, is what do you do with them once you record them? So it's one thing to know what to do with your own podcast, but what do you do when you are on somebody else's and how can you leverage that? We're going to dive deep into that today. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. So Lindsay Phillips is the CEO of Smooth Business Podcasting, speaker, guest expert, host of the Leverage Your Podcast Show, and creator of the Podcast Leverage System. While growing a successful content marketing agency and launching a ton of podcasts, including her own, she quickly learned the true power of podcasting. She's passionate about helping clients strategically leverage and repurpose their podcast interviews. She creates branded, authority-boosting content that expands your reach, attracts your ideal client, and generates leads. She's been featured on MSN, NBC, Fox, published in Huffington Post, Daily Business Post, and Go Solo. She's guested on podcasts like John Lee Dumas's Entrepreneurs on Fire and Joe Fairless' Best Podcast Ever, and has shared her expertise on numerous stages, including PodPros and PodFest, getting a Guinness World Record, and her highlight was sharing the stage at Service Business Edge with Mike Michalowicz and Jay Abraham. So I got to tell you, she knows what she's talking about, and she's going to share it with you today. So make sure you have your pen and paper, because you're going to have a lot of writer-downers for sure. So Lindsay, thank you so much for being here with me today.
I'm totally pumped to be here. Anytime I get to talk to you, and I shared so much, or you shared so much wisdom on my show, I took massive notes, I tell you, and I still have to go back and have a little bit of homework to do. So yeah, I'm totally excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here too, because since you brought up me being on your podcast, I have to tell you, I already had you booked on mine, but if I hadn't, I would have, because I have never seen anybody. So this is a case of walking your talk, right? I've never seen anybody leverage a podcast like you did. I have to tell you, you provided not just so much content to leverage, but how you did it. So I'm going to tell you, when she's done, you're going to want to take all your writer downers. She's giving you not one, but two gifts at the end of the show. So you're going to want to make sure that you stay to the end. And she's got a really great strategy she's going to share too. But I have to tell you, the format of how she does it and her whole system, I have to tell you, if you were ever going to hire someone, if you didn't want to do it yourself, here's your girl. Because I have to tell you, I'm introducing everybody I know to her. So that's my reigning endorsement right from the beginning here. But I have to tell you, let's just jump right in. And let's start with, what would you say the benefits of guesting on podcasts are to expand your reach and authority? So let's like start with that.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes people don't really know what all the benefits are. They just hear that they should do it.
No, and they actually think that by guesting on podcasts, they just automatically think leads, and that's it. And so like sharing their lead magnet and so forth. But in actuality, if you leverage and repurpose the show that you guest on, you actually have the ability to boost your authority because you're like a guest expert. As someone sees that you're on a show, that you're speaking on stage, that you're an author, those three things, it's like instant credibility, instant trust, and it opens up doors to get other opportunities. So like people that you probably know, you've done a ton of events, those that are doing like summits, conferences, if they see that other people are guesting on podcasts and done it successfully, then it's like a no-brainer to ask them to be a part of their summit or part of their virtual stage, if you will. So you automatically get a ton more opportunities and therefore, obviously, visibility. You're tapping into other people's audiences.
I also think that when you guest on other people's podcasts, it's a really great way to leverage meaning. Don't just take my word for it. Right. You know, because I get asked all the time. So, Patty, you know, can you share links to some of the other, you know, podcasts that you've been on? I get asked that a lot.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I will always give yours because I really loved our conversation. Nice. But the thing is, really, it is a really great way to showcase. Like, it's a way to say, hey, it's not just me. Right. You know, yes, I give value. I'm telling you that. It really helps you to get credibility from other people as well. And I have to tell you, on my podcast form, when someone is coming on my podcast or I'm thinking about having them, I love to ask them, what other podcasts have you been on?
Totally.
And then click on them. And then when they give me those links and I go look, it's like, oh, wow. Like it really helps you to know who you want.
Yeah.
But also, I think it creates a better podcast because I know that when I go look at other podcasts that people have been on, I don't want mine to be the same. I don't want to ask them exactly the same question. So I like looking and said, oh, wow, those were really good. How can I position that a little bit better, a little bit deeper for my audience so that I am really, you know, targeting the people who listen to my show? What do they want to hear? And really finding the guests, but also asking the right questions that gives them what they need while still allowing my guests to provide value.
That's so true. And I never really thought about it that way in regards to like trying to make it a little bit different and targeted. But yeah, I mean, when you see other podcast episodes that they've been on, you can kind of already frame in your head like what the conversation is going to be like, what kind of information the audience is going to have. So it helps you prepare, but also see that like, are they just going to ramble on for half an hour or are they actually going to give me some good stuff? And think about it too, like when someone goes to your website, and they see on your blog post or media page or wherever you put it, if they see that you've guested on all of these shows, they automatically see you as an expert. Those that are booking shows, people that are looking for help and support, your prospects, you want to have that stuff on your website so that people know that you're guesting. They know what you're an expert on. They see that you're, you know, you're credible and you're an authority in your space.
Oh, I love that. One of the things that you do that I've never seen anybody else do, like ever, is that when you're guesting on a podcast, how you actually create something and put it on your own website, whether it's a blog or maybe somebody might want to do an article, however they want to do it. But the great thing about that is when you are taking that information, you are now controlling the narrative of how you want to put it on yours so you can position yourself properly and really get great SEO, right, on your site, not just on theirs. So it's great that they're doing it, obviously, right? But after the next week and the week after that, they've gone on to the next guest and the next guest. But when you're putting it on your site, this allows you to be able to refer back to it over and over again. And one of the things that when I saw what you did with the podcast that, you know, that I was on yours, I feel like some of the things that I covered, you asked really good questions. And some of the things that I covered now, when people ask me that question, it's really easy to say, well, that's, you know, true. What? I can answer that question. But also, here's a podcast that I was on that literally I was a guest on this and I talked about that exact thing. And then you literally have all these different, you know, things, not just downloadable freebies and stuff like that, but you have real content, real value that
resources
to someone. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about saving time on answering some FAQs that you get. Yeah. And the reason I started doing that, Patty, was like I've guested on a bunch of shows, But there's some that I've been on where they had a show page, but like all it said was like my bio. It didn't say what I spoke about. It didn't have any hooks. It had like nothing that enticed the person to like want to listen. And sometimes they even had the title. They just like played on my business name. They had like, I don't know, back in the day when I just was a content marketing agency, it was like content marketing or make your content marketing smooth or something like that. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's a lame title. Like, it's not going to tell anybody what the heck it is that I speak about and how that episode's going to help them. So I'm like, that's what I have to share. I'm like, oh. And I've even had guested on like most of the shows that I'm on, they're like stellar. I get a lot of great things. But there are times when they'll share like a little clip of the episode and it's like some weird random spot where I talked about some tangent. It wasn't speaking about something that I'm an expert on. It wasn't helping position me in any way. So I'm like, what can I do so that I take that control back and position myself in a way that I want to be seen, that I want to be known for? And then that way too, the branding is also mine. So like the images and the assets that I create is my branding, so that my social media is not like this crock pot of, you know, all of these different things that look, you know, different colors, different styles. So yeah, I really wanted to control how I looked and how I was positioned.
Which I think is important. I think that helps you to avoid leaving money on the table too, right?
Hell yes.
Because when people see that, they're like, oh, wow, this person really, you know, like really cares about how they're showing up.
Yeah.
And if in any way, shape or form, you're in the business of doing that for other people or showing other people how they can be visible and how they can market their business or leverage, and no matter what you do, right, it actually shows, and showing versus telling works so much better. So why would you say that publishing the episodes on your site is so important besides the obvious SEO?
One of it is you're giving the host some backlink. So I do obviously link also to their site, their iTunes, whatever. But it allows me, like you said, to SEO that post on a particular keyword. Sometimes I'll even change the title that they made for the episode so that I can kind of tweak it a little bit for what suits me and my SEO for that keyword. But it also allows me to, A, showcase myself in a certain way. So people go to my site, they see my podcast posts, blog posts, whatever you want to call them. And then they have consumable content. Google loves it. But they're also seeing what I talk about, how I can help them, how I can serve them. And then other podcast hosts, people that are creating summits and so forth, they can see automatically what I'm speaking about, how I say it, and then how I just even my personality, right, of how I perform, if you will, on video or audio. But by taking that extra step and like creating the show notes myself, the timestamps, all of those little nuggets, I can then use that to repurpose and create new content. So I'm not killing myself trying to figure out, you know, what the heck I'm going to post next week. It makes it so much easier.
And I think it's ongoingly too. You know, I know that when I was on your show, I talked about how many ways can you keep on doing things. But the fact of the matter is, if you have show notes, you create your own, little value nuggets, right? And then people are like, oh, wow. And then you can say, oh, I talked about this on this podcast. You're continually, you know, promoting that person who's literally going to talk about you and say, you know what? This person was on my podcast. And like, it's been like 6 months and she's still in some way, shape or form, occasionally still saying something about that podcast, right? You know, and that is really going to help you to build relationships. And even though there are, you know, a bazillion podcasts out there right now, because, you know, it has such a low barrier of entry, but the fact of the matter is that doesn't mean there's a bazillion good podcasts out there, right? Not only that, but in a handful, I want people to be able to say, oh, these are the ones. This is how I show up. This is the value that I bring. And not only that, but you don't want everybody to use the same thing.
No.
Like you said, you want to control the narrative of this is what I spoke about, especially like when you're on a podcast, like maybe you're launching something new or you're doing something different or you're doing trying to get into a different market, or their audience is just not the same as, you know, the last podcast you were on and the one that you were on before that, right? And so I feel like we need to speak to that and what that value is. And so people realize, oh, wow, I know she talks about this. I know this is what Lindsay does fabulous, right? She helps people to leverage their podcast, and she helps people how they're going to make money doing it and how are they going to position themselves. So that's great that they know that. But when people position it differently and you get to control that narrative, you get to show them the different ways that you do it, because you never know which one of those things somebody's going to say, oh, wow, I could do a whole podcast on that. I want you to be a guest on that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just like there's so many reasons and so many ways that you can use that content. And it's like, you know, and I'm a podcast host as well. And so I share a lot of content that is like yours, or it's like a Facebook ad expert or whatever that may be. So when I have a chance to share my own content and my own wisdom because I guest on a show, then why wouldn't I share it? And the thought of, like, you probably see this all the time, someone guests on a podcast and they're leaning on the host to kind of like do all the heavy lifting. They're like, oh, the host is going to share that. They're going to tag me, so like my work is done. I'm like, oh, heck no.
It's just beginning.
Yeah. And sometimes when I'm guesting on a show and I will create all that content and then I put it out and the host is like, dang, like, thanks for doing that. They're like, this is great content. And obviously I tag the host when I do the reels, when I do those little video clips. And so they're grateful. So I'm standing out to them as well. So they're probably more likely to share me as a potential guest to someone that they know. And like you said, I mean, that whole relationship part of it, this is where you shine. It's like, you're crazy when it comes to like relationships and partnerships. Like, you have got it down pat. But like that part of it, you can't discount that. Sure, it's exposure. Sure, it's visibility. Yes, you can get leads from it. Yes, you can create content. But those relationships that you have with people when you're guesting on the show, I mean, that can get you booked on more shows. You can create partnerships, collaborations, do things together, affiliate stuff. Like, there's so many different ways to foster that. And by you really sharing the episode and taking that time and tagging them, I mean, that's just like a little piece of it.
Exactly. And I think that when people do it, they start to see the other things. They start to see what it would be like to work with you. Now, I have to tell you, if you're a speaker, podcast host, do any of those type of things, we work with other people who do that. So, you know, being able to say, you know what, I was on this person's podcast. She was phenomenal. She knew how to share. She knew how to promote. She knew what was important to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. She knew how to ask great questions. Oh, and now I'm doing an event and I need someone to, you know, I'm looking for speakers. Now, why would I not want that person to be a speaker? Because I say all the time that one of the things I love about my podcast is I'm always looking for good guests. But I will tell you that I will never, ever, ever put somebody on my stage if they haven't been on my podcast first.
Yeah.
See how they do well with the podcast.
Totally.
Or how do they write an article for my magazine before I'm ever going to put them on my stage, right? So I feel like how you do anything is how you do everything, right? And so I want to be able to see how that would be. So
yeah.
I think that people who get it, you know, who are not just in it for themselves, that realize that, you know what, when you're on somebody else's podcast, it isn't really about you. It's about their audience. They trusted you with their audience. Like, you're the cheerleader representing the school. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is it. So do it well. Like,
yeah.
You know, and so I think that is really important. And I have to tell you, I think you're doing a fabulous job with that.
Yeah.
But you're also opening up something that I don't think people think about. Like, people think about if they have a podcast and what should they do. I mean, like, I could put 100 people on my show that would sit there and tell you that if you have your own podcast, here's different ways you can do it. Like, totally. There's a lot of ways. I can talk about that myself. But I have never seen anybody who really talks about how do you leverage other people's, because guess what? There's a lot of people out there who don't have a podcast and they're thinking, oh, yeah. I know, I wish I need to start a podcast. And I guess when I will, then I'll get that positioning or then I'll get to be a speaker,
yeah.
or get on more stages. But the fact of the matter is you show people how to do it if they never had a podcast of their own. So for people who don't want to have a podcast, what a great way that you are showing people how you can have all those benefits if you leverage it right and that you have a system for that,
yeah,
so that they can do it when they're just guesting on other people. So for people who are trying to get the credibility or who are trying to share the value, but they don't have all those assets themselves yet, right? What a great way to be able to leverage that. And so if you're on podcasts that, you know, you're like, oh, wow, this is the kind of podcast I want to be on. Share great content, mm-hmm. share great value, and then share the podcast, right?
Agreed.
And you literally take them through a whole system to do that. So let's kind of get into that.
Yeah.
So if we're publishing, right? So how should we be publishing and what things do we need to include? Because I have to tell you, you're right. I think people think, oh, yeah, they're little, one little square that they get. Yes, let me put that out. Oh, it was so great. I'm honored to have been on somebody's podcast.
I know.
And then that's it, right? You know, that is it. And usually they think that the title, like you said, might not even be a good title. They actually think that that title is going to tell everybody what the value was that you brought to the table. Like, why are you not telling them the value?
Like, I know.
To the table. So what should they include? Let's talk about that.
For sure. I mean, AI obviously helps nowadays. You can't talk about anything without talking about AI. So we do use it, but I use it as a tool. I don't copy and paste. It just kind of like speeds along my work. So all my team are writers. And so, I mean, the basics, right? You want like an intro, like what is it about? I always like to have the bullets of like what someone's going to learn. So like what's in it for them, right? Nothing fluffy. You know, you're going to learn, I don't know, the 3 ways to bake a cake without using flour. That saves time. So it's like, what are they going to learn and what's in it for them? So really always think about the listener or the reader and like what's in it for them. The other thing I like to include are timestamps of those kind of like key moments or key things that they'll learn. I use it in the blog post so that people could just click and skip to kind of like the spot that they want. Not all audio players work with that, so you kind of have to be careful. And then I also use it for YouTube so that it creates those chapters. So then that makes my video more interactive and, again, easier for people to consume because they can kind of skip to a part that they like the best. And then I write like the typical blog post where there's like subtopics, paragraphs, because that allows me to, A, not only ensure that there's keywords throughout it, but when you think about it, someone's on a blog page, there are people that are going to listen, there are people that are going to watch, so obviously I embed my YouTube video, and there are people that are going to skim and people that are going to read. So I like to read, so I love blog posts, but not everyone's like that. So that way you're like, you're putting that all down the page and you're getting everyone that consumes information differently. And the beautiful thing about having like all that content throughout the post is that you can pepper that with call to action. So you can have a form built in there. I'm an affiliate of a bunch of different products and programs. So I will have an image in there that showcases one of the products that I'm an affiliate of. I'll obviously have an image that's got a call to action to one of my lead magnets. So you want to give as many opportunities to convert those listeners or readers to your email list or to buy XYZ or sign up for a masterclass or whatever that may be.
You know, it's really kind of funny because when I read yours, it flows so nice.
Oh, good.
You know, when you think about what is it that we're looking for, so you flow. And I did notice that, you know, you do have some calls to action in there, but they kind of fit. Like,
yeah.
Put them in the place where it kind of makes sense. And then realizing that everybody's buying behavior is different, right? You know, there are people who are like, oh, wow, that was just really amazing. I want to, whatever she's offering, like right now.
Totally.
There's the people that want to consume a little bit more information. They want to know a little bit more. So it's kind of like you're giving them like supporting documentation. And then you're giving them supporting documentation in different ways. So here's something else that you can read. Here's something else that you can watch. Here's something else I did. And it really kind of is like, oh, so by the time you're done reading that, you have the ability to get all the information that you need to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And nowhere in there were they shoving sales down your throat.
Yeah.
It was just a natural progression, which I think is really part of building that relationship. And not only that, but once they see all that, it's always easy to be able to say, oh, let me go back. Like, you know, they know your website now. Now let me go back. Because I know that I probably have been on your website, I don't know how many times. I have to tell you, I've never found somebody who has said, like, you know, when people put like, here's like the highlights of the show, you have so many different ways that you say that. I was looking at one this morning that you did where you were talking about highlights of mastery. I was like, oh, that one was really good. You were on one and you were talking about mastery. And I was like, oh, that was really great. Now, who wouldn't want to listen to that? This is where you had highlights of mastery. So I was like, oh, that was really good. So I feel like, you know, you can optimize it for what it is that you want people to get. So I have to tell you, I think that you are really an expert at that. I think it's an expert, but in it, not only just an expert, but in a way that I think people are thinking of those things. And that's what I love. When you meet somebody, you hear somebody's like, oh, yeah, that's a different way. Because it's really getting somebody to shift. Like if their mindset shifts and they're like, oh, I never thought of it that way.
True.
And then when you say, oh, and I have a system that can help you with that, right? Then it's all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, I love all those things. I don't want to do them myself, but I love all them. But, oh, here's somebody that can actually do that for me. And then you can literally look at your website where you have these other podcasts that you've been on, not just your own, like obviously not just your own, but what you've done. It really is like, yeah, I want that. It helps us make a decision. So you don't just talk your talk, you walk your walk. And I think that is really beautiful.
Thank you. And for me, it's like if you have a system, it makes your life so much easier. And if you have a team, a VA, you know, whether you hire me or have your VA do something, if you have a system, then it's just like just off your head, right? It's just, and you have tasks and things that you need to do for every single episode, then you're not winging it and you're not skipping things, you're not missing things. It's just, it just makes life easier. We got enough to do,
right? Exactly. So what are some of the ways we can distribute that content to get more of that visibility other than like the obvious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's funny because when people say distribution, they automatically think, oh, you're a podcast host. So you go to all these directories. But like as a guest, you don't have those directories. The host does. But you basically you want to make sure that you're sharing that content everywhere. You don't want to disclude someone. So I always ask the host for the raw video and then I put it up in my YouTube channel. So don't be afraid to ask for the video or the raw audio file whenever you guest on a show. Really, you're doing them a service as well, right? You're sharing their podcast elsewhere and it's living in other places. So it's a win-win for everybody. So YouTube, obviously on my website, and then I will create a LinkedIn article, which goes to my newsletter. So if anyone doesn't know LinkedIn newsletters, it's almost like you're publishing like an e-newsletter or a blog, either which way you want to look at it. It's an article. You can make it whatever you want. But in a nutshell, when it's a newsletter, people subscribe and then they get notified whenever you make a new one. Not only do they get notified in LinkedIn, but they also get notified via email to then look at that episode, look at that article, e-zine, whatever you want to call it. So like to have that opportunity of like being like right in front of their face, front and center and grab their attention. I'm like, yes, please. And then the other two, you know, social media, obviously. So being on all the platforms that matter to you, where your audience is hanging out. And then don't forget to email your list. Great content, even though you might have shared it like a month ago on another episode, doesn't matter. You're going to be wording it differently and people need to see the same thing over and over and over again. And you have new people on your e-list, so you don't want to disclude them as well. So share via email. You can even, if your episode, let's say I shared my 4-step podcast leverage system, I could even break that up and do 4 emails and share a tip in each one and then have various call to actions. So you can like slice and dice it even for email, because I know for some people, writing email content every week, it's a struggle. So, you know, don't feel like you need to write an email that's yay long every single time or that it's new. You can just give a short little tip and then other things. And last but not least, I would say is to make sure that you're using that video to create reels and YouTube shorts, because that gets you in front of people that are not already following you. Distribute it everywhere.
Everywhere. So when you are taking that raw footage from that host and you're going to put it on your YouTube, do you also put a link in the description of where it originally was on theirs?
I usually link it on my show notes page. So I direct traffic to my website. And then I also have like about me, resources, other stuff on that YouTube description at the bottom to try to convert traffic to either my lead magnets or my site. And then I do my own thumbnail. That's my brand, but it has the podcast art on it, like the show art, to say that I was featured on that show. So I'm still showcasing their podcast. And then obviously in the description, I share that I'm a guest on whatever podcast, have the summary, have the bullets, have the timestamps. And then, yeah, but basically I direct traffic to my own site.
That actually makes a lot of sense when you're thinking about the ways to do it. But this is certainly a lot more than what most people are doing, right? So I have to tell you, your system works. So I always like to say that there's things that people think that are so not true, right? You know, they don't try to go out and get on podcasts. They don't go out and they think, oh, nobody will want me or whatever the case may be, right? So I always love to have on my show my guests to do something that I call Mythbusters. Mythbusters. So what are some of the myths, right? Myths and mistakes that you hear people say that just really aren't true, because you know, maybe somebody's listening right now that literally thinks that, and we're going to be able to shift their mindset right here by like busting that myth. So what are some of the ones that you hear all the time or see all the time?
Absolutely. I hear when people are guesting on shows and they may only have one or two talk topics. I think it's better to have 3 myself. But if they only have one or two talk topics and they're guesting on the shows, they don't want to put it on their site. They don't want to put it on YouTube, or they don't even want to push it out that much on social, because they feel like that they are just repeating the same things, that they're just sharing the same stuff over and over and over again. And people are going to know or notice or be bored. One, no one is going to notice. I guarantee it. People scroll too much and there's other people's, you know, things and rabbit holes and God knows what else. So don't worry about that. The second thing is that you're having a conversation with someone when you're guesting on a show. So the way you say it is always going to be slightly different. The question that you get asked, it's not like it's the same speech in every show. And then also the way that you pull out those nuggets and the way that you showcase it is always going to be slightly different as well, with maybe framed a little bit differently or worded slightly differently when you're sharing a little video clip, different call to actions on them. And then thirdly, it's like people need to see the same thing over and over and over again. If my area of expertise is leveraging guest, you know, podcast guesting, then it will be, well, what else am I going to talk about? That's my thing. That's my jam. That's what I do. So it's not like I'm going to talk about some, you know, Facebook ads or something completely random on my social. So it's like, of course, you're going to share the same types of concepts or topics. You'd almost be silly not to in my eyes. So that is a huge myth.
And I think that people don't realize that you're doing it differently. Like, I know that sometimes I will say, I'll be on a podcast as a guest And we'll be talking about, like, a lot of times people want me to talk a lot about how to leverage and monetize your marketing and media, right?
Yeah.
It's like my number one topic. I have to tell you, if people listen to 10 podcasts that I talked about that topic, none of them would be the same.
Totally.
Because they ask you different questions, or you're in a different place, or like there's something else. Like, you can't tell everything you know in a podcast, right?
No.
So there's always going to be something else. So that day, this is going to come up, or you're going to share this story. It's like, as
exactly.
I have a speech and I can talk to a mortgage company, an insurance company, you know, entrepreneurs, like all type of things. My speech of what I'm teaching is the same. The stories are different.
Yeah.
And the stories that I'm sharing are more aligned to who they are and who the audience is. And I think that when you're a guest, you know, one of the things I always like to ask is, who is your, you know, who's your avatar? Who are your people? Which I always want to know even before I say I'll be a guest, right? And so when you know that, you're actually speaking through that lens to their people. So you are going to say it differently, right? Which is kind of why if you're promoting them and you are doing that blog and all those ways that you're talking about, it's really great. So the next time somebody who has an audience that's just like your audience or the audience of another one, you can say, oh, wow, I literally just did a podcast with somebody and they had a, you know, 100, you know, realtors in their office and they wanted me to come in or whatever the case may be. Guess what? That actually makes you look like an expert. So people want to hear you. I want to hear somebody talk to somebody who's talking to, say, like, if you were going to come in and say that you were going to do this podcast and you were going to talk about how they can leverage podcasts and how that can help them get more speaking gigs, you're probably not saying the exact same thing as to somebody who doesn't have a podcast and wants to know, if they're just starting out, how they can leverage podcast guesting. Both episodes are about how to leverage podcast guesting.
Yeah.
But what you're going to say and share is not going to be the same.
So totally.
I 100% agree with you. And haven't you ever got done podcast guesting and then got off? And when you got done, you're like, oh, wow, I was really on it today. You know, you just thought, oh, they asked the right question.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, that's what happened when I was on yours. I literally put out to everybody, it's like, oh my gosh, I was really on it. And I felt like when I was on your podcast, the value that I gave,
it was insane. Literally.
Well, because you asked really good questions,
oh, thank you.
Right? You asked really good questions. And what the conversation was about was different than some of the other ones. So I think that is really important. But now let's kind of talk a little bit about how important it is to have a system, like whether it's like a checklist, like you have a system and obviously it's working for you and it's working for your guests and they should hire you. That's what I'm going to say. But if they're still doing it on their own or whatever, like there should be some type of system. So can you just give them, like, if they're thinking, oh, Lindsay, that just sounds so good, but like I'm all over the place. I don't know where I'd start. Like, what are just a couple of things that if I was just starting guesting and I'm not quite doing it enough yet that I feel like I should hire you, like, let's give them some value. Like, what are like maybe one or two things that they should be thinking about? Because I think that sometimes when you get it, you know how to think, well, then you will come up with a little bit more and a little bit more.
Yeah. You got to start somewhere, right? You can't do it all like right off the cuff. It's too hard. So at the bare minimum, I would, when you're guesting on a show, make sure you ask for the video. Then you can create your own YouTube thumbnail, write the description, and get it up on your YouTube. Then create your own show notes. Again, there's a ton of tools out there. So I usually have one Word document, like a Google document, so that I can share it with my team. And then you have all the show notes on there, and you're just pulling little pieces out to create that YouTube description. And then from there, you can write an email just on one of the tips or on the show in general. So then you can have your email template on there. You can have your social media post that shares the episode. Maybe you want to pull out a few quotes, or there's a few little sections that you want to highlight. So you can either create some quote graphics or create, let's say you create 3 reels from it, and pull out those little video clips, and then just write the social, and then you create it and deploy it. So as long as you have like a template on a Google document that you're like, okay, I'm going to do the show notes, an email, 3 social media posts. And so as long as you have that template, then it's like rinse and repeat. And then you can build on.
That just segues into the gifts that you brought. Now, you're giving them 2 gifts. I love it. You're getting them the short, easy, do this the minimum. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, the second gift that she's going to give, where she's sharing this podcast leverage system, I got to tell you, I'm going to let her talk about it. But she's giving you a training video, a workbook, and are you ready for this? She's actually giving you the Canva templates to use. Like, come on, people. Like, what?
Doesn't get any easier.
I don't know. Couldn't get any easier than that. So kind of share with us a little bit about the gifts. And I have to tell you, you're being so generous, Lindsay.
Oh, no worries. I love helping people. And you got to start somewhere. I remember back in the day starting out. It's like, oh, my God, how do I do this? So I do want to make it easy. So the bigger one is the podcast leverage system. And so it's the 4 steps to create authority boosting content with less overwhelm and to get more leads and clients. So that is the system is for hosts predominantly, but you can take 80% of that and apply it to being a guest. So it'll step you through those 4 steps. So the publishing, distribution, repurposing, multiplying. And then, yeah, it has the checklist and the Canva templates as well. So that is the leverageyourpodcast.com/free.
And then you have a second one kind of the really quick and easy way too.
For sure. So that one is the 3 ways to leverage and repurpose your podcast guest interviews to boost authority, visibility, leads, and sales. And that is leverageyourpodcast.com/guest. And yeah, just a really quick report and checklist so that you can check off the items and really start leveraging your episodes.
So how about that? Like, really, she's giving you a nice, short, sweet, easy, here's how to get started, handed to your VA. And then like a whole little system with Canva templates. That just blew me away when I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like amazing. And you're so generous. And I appreciate it so much. So I have to say, Lindsay, As if you didn't share enough. Remember, I'm wearing this gold necklace because I knew how many gold nuggets she was going to get. So that wasn't enough. This is the part of the show that I like to call hashtag open mic.
Love it.
Where I ask my guests if they would share their number one marketing, media, money strategy. Like, if you didn't share enough, but if you had to narrow it down to one strategy, what would that strategy be?
The biggest missed opportunity is not using enough call to actions. People share content, video clips, quotes, and then they just like, that's it. And I'm like, you want to push people to something all of the time. So whether you push to your blog post to like watch the whole podcast, you can use a DM strategy and say, oh, you know, if you really want this podcast leverage system, put hashtag leverage below and I'll DM you the info. So then people just put like the hashtag in the comment. And then that way you can actually get the sales opportunity of communicating with them in DMs, get a conversation going. They get the thing. Maybe you even chat more and then book them on a call. And then, you know, having the call to actions. Hey, I've got a masterclass coming up. Hey, I've got a Facebook group. Why don't you join it? Hey, I've got a program that is 50% off right now. You know, here's a resource for you. So you're doing people a disservice by not sharing what the next step is, by not sharing how you can help them. And you're doing yourself a disservice by not using call to actions to convert those prospects, those people that are scrolling, watching, listening, consuming. You want to convert them to leads and sales.
That is phenomenal, Lindsay. I mean, where you really think about it, right? I feel like sales is service. Sales, if it's done right, is service. And you are doing them a disservice if they get done listening to you or they hear you somewhere. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, that was really great. She gave me this really great content. But like, now what do I do? Right? You know,
I know.
They get to say no. They get to just take whatever they want. It's like they get to go to a buffet and they get to just pick whichever thing that they want. But if you never invite them to the buffet,
I know,
they can't even choose, right? You know?
Actually, just last week, one of my clients got another client from a YouTube short that we made for them. because the clip just spoke to them a very specific way and had a call to action. They had a call with them and they became a client. And so if you're not picking the right clips, not using the right language, and not using call to actions, then you're just creating content for content. And that is like, you're just missing so many opportunities.
You said that so nicely. So thank you so much, Lindsay, for being here with me. This has been amazing. Like I knew it would. You are just a rock star, but not just that. Like you really know your stuff and you do it in a way that thinks outside the box. And I got to tell you, I don't even like that phrase. I can't believe I just said it because I don't even think there is a box, right? There isn't even a box. But I have to tell you, it's what I feel is important to me, really, is like, I don't want to do things the way everybody else does it. Not to say those aren't good things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good starting point. Look at what other people are doing and seeing it. But then what can you do to differentiate yourself?
Totally.
Because that's why people are going to hire you, right? What are you doing differently than anybody else? So this is really a great system and a way that people can do that. So I have to tell you, thank you so much, Lindsay.
Yeah, thanks for a great combo.
It's a great, every conversation with you is a great conversation. So if people want to connect with you, what is your favorite way? What's the best way you want people to reach out to you?
They can go to smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. And of course, there's always a pop-up there to chat with me and find me on LinkedIn. That's where I hang out the most. So look up Lindsay Phillips and you will see me there. I just got the top voice in podcasting badge. So I was pretty pumped about that.
Congratulations. Thanks.
I know.
Awesome.
I was so happy.
And I have to tell you, you give a lot of great, great content on LinkedIn.
Thank you.
As well. So that is really good.
I love LinkedIn.
I love it. I just love it. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
To my audience, thank you so much for being here with me again this week. I love it. And if you enjoyed this episode, and I'm sure you did, please like, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And we will see you again next week. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at m3magazine.com. That's M, the number 3, magazine.com. I promise your business will thank you.